So
we're having
welcome
fun.
To episode one.
Yeah,
this is 1% better podcast. Cheers.
1% better, baby. Why we create this, G? 1% better.
We created this because for me, at least I'll share my purpose. My purpose in this was, you know, my name is G. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a husband. I am a, you know, son. I'm a entrepreneur. So the reason why I wanted to be part of this is because in each of those titles, I want, you know, someone to hear what we got to say.
Yep.
And maybe they can relate. Maybe they can't relate. Maybe they'll learn something. Maybe they'll not learn something. But for me, it's also a creative sound off for, you know, with people that I care about, which is you and Dan. And thank that you. I can, you know, bounce ideas off of and find a new perspective. And I think that's the main kind of idea of 1% better, which is, you know, to learn something new and find different perspectives. What do you think?
I don't know if I could follow up on that. That was so eloquently said, man.
As Dan said, I'm a professional.
Yeah. 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 When the professional is gone, this is what happens.
I know.
No, 1% better. I just think sometimes you need an outlet. And I got to be honest, the first couple of takes we had this was very therapeutic, man.
Yeah.
It's very therapeutic. You know, so I hope people viewing this will get something from it, and we're going to perfect it. We're going to work on it. But it's been fun, by the way, learning the art of podcasting.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But I got to be honest, I'm doing it for myself. And yeah. I'm hoping doing it for myself will resonate with somebody else to either learn life lessons.
Yes.
Or even start their own podcast. Whatever, dude. Like, because, dude, I got to be honest. My buddies and I talked about starting a podcast for a long time.
That's right.
And I think a lot of you guys might be like, yeah, me too. Like, and so we're just telling you, we're just normal dudes that did it.
Yeah.
So let us be your inspiration, maybe, or anchor, and do it yourself. Part of this, we'll even show you our, you know, setup. I mean,
yeah, why not?
Woo!
Yeah, follow.
That's
follow,
part of it too, right?
Follow JJ_FitRecruiter.
JJ_FitRecruiter.
We got it right, right?
You did.
Yeah.
I realized that you said that. It's too long, dude. I should just say follow
JJ underscore.
I guarantee you JJ's taken. But yes, right now it's JJ_FitRecruiter, but that's my fit stuff.
Fit recruiter,
like fit and recruiter stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
We're going to change it a little bit.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Just follow me, whatever it is. I'm just exploring. I'm doing different things, but
hey, we're,
I'm here doing this with my boy G. So
living and learning type of thing.
We're living and learning, dude. That's the beauty of life, dude. Just do.
Yeah.
And then just do it. Like, it's Nike. Fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is not perfect, but it's fun. So
yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
You know, on the Fit Recruiter side, like yeah. you said it as a fitness channel, because originally
it was,
right?
Oh, dude,
now
here
it's
we go.
Recruiting, right? Why recruiting?
Great question. By the way, it's also like, let me say this, guys, like content creation and creating a social media channel, like you're going to go through different iterations. Like my friends are like, I probably went through 5 names already.
Yeah.
I started with, I don't even know what I started with. Then I went to Growth with Jer.
Yeah.
Then now it's JJ Fit Recruiter. And we're still deciding if that name really talks about who I am.
Well, this is your second social media account anyways, right?
Yeah, I have a personal one.
Yeah, which we will not disclose.
I mean, it's private, so yeah, who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, if you find me Jonathan Jarrett, it's private. But my public one is JJ_FitRecruiter. And it's because, number one, I'm a recruiter. You know, for the last 15-plus years, I've been a recruiter. For the last 8 years, I've been a owner-operator of a recruiting company.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's my life. It's my legacy. It's my life's work. Although we're going through some transformation right now, but recruiting is what I want to leave on this earth as my footprint. It's like, I love helping people find jobs, but not only just find jobs, but just, I just love meeting people. And so for me, recruiting is my platform to just meet people. And the number one thing people need help with right now is finding a job. So yeah. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty good at it. So let me help you do that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think early on, like who I am is I love helping people, but what does that mean? Right. How do you help people? Mm-hmm. And then I think you slowly find ways to do that. And then I landed on recruiting, and I could tell you that story another time. But once I landed on recruiting, it almost was a light bulb for me. I was like, oh, okay. I feel like I was born to do this.
Are you saying it was a calling?
It's definitely a calling.
Uh-huh.
I love this shit.
Okay.
Like, and the reason why I say I love this shit is because I've gone through tribulations, ups and downs. It's not perfect.
Okay.
Being a business owner and being a recruiter, all that, like, you know, I had a lot of down years. Mm-hmm. I went through a down year. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot of self-doubt. I went through, just like you as a business owner, like, stress, a lot of pressure, and so on and so forth. But you know the difference, though? The difference is, like, once you find that it, you make the stress and all that, like, worthwhile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you're in a state. Like, the best way I could explain it is when I'm stressing about my job or my business, like, I stress, yes, and I honor that stress, but I also feel excitement. I also feel determination.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like I could do this. Like, I'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
You have resiliency.
Yeah.
Word. Yeah.
Like, when you find your true motivation in life, and we could talk about my, you know, belief in motivation, discipline, and consistency.
Yep.
Three key things you got to find in life. But it starts with your motivation is, like, who are you and what the hell do you want to do on this earth? What do you want to do on this earth, man?
That's deep.
What do you want to leave on this earth?
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's going to be this game of, like, recruiting. Like how do I become the best recruiter, the best influencer, the best just partner, you know, relationship to somebody to help them navigate this crazy
world.
Job market world we're in now. AI, automation, robots, craziness.
Well, would you say your biggest thing is, you know, they always say, like, what would you want your people to remember you as when you're, you know, dead and gone, right? Would you say is that you're a recruiter or that you helped people? Or is there a difference? Like, how would you frame that?
Ooh, yeah, definitely. I don't want, like, my tombstone to say, Jonathan Jarre, here lies a recruiter. Definitely
JJ not. Underscore the fit recruiter.
No. It's, You know what? Honestly, I'll say this. My buddy Vinny, shout out Vinny, on the golf course, he said, hey, JJ, Jonathan, whatever you want to call me. He was like, the reason I love playing golf with you is because you're like the greatest hype man. And listen, if you play golf with me, you'll know, like, I love seeing my buddies hit that sweet spot. Like, you know, like, I love when other people's do well. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm competitive. Don't get me wrong. Like, if we play, I want to beat you.
Yeah.
But I won't sacrifice, like, my relationship with you.
Uh-huh.
For my gain, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I'll still want to beat you. That.
Yeah.
But I'm going to encourage you too.
Yes. Yes.
And when you hit a good shot or sweet shot, I'm going to hype you up. I'm going to be like, yeah, dog.
Does it change when there's $1 million on the line?
Yeah, probably. Probably, but I'm going to go after that million.
Yeah.
But then I'm also going to make sure, you know, like, next time around, I'm going to help you try to get that million too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
That I'm still going to beat you.
That's respect. Yeah.
But I'm not going to Kobe you and hold back information, which is fine. Some people are like that, which is cool. Like, I respect that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be more of, I don't know. Steph Curry? Is Steph like that? He's willing to share information. He's willing to, like, give back.
you know, help
others. I love Kobe, though. I mean, I got Mamba all over me, too. Like, it's two different schools of thought, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Mamba and Jordan came from a different era. They were killers.
Yeah.
You know, they inspired in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, Steph is a killer himself, but he's just not the same.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
He's not the same. But I just love giving back. So what do I want to be known as? Like, just somebody who lived life to the fullest, who gave his all, that you felt his energy and presence, that you genuinely felt like he wanted to know you and get the best out of you. That's what I wanted to be known as.
Okay. That's amazing. That's deep. That's deep.
You know?
Yeah.
I want you to trust that in conversation with me, I could get the best out of you through my curiosity, through just knowing who I am and just hyping you up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it to you personally, outside of podcasts, outside of just, you know, just hanging out. You are the hype man. You're a hype man. So, yeah. Like, it's very true. If you ever get so lucky to be around Jonathan as me and Dan have, he is absolutely not lying about this shit. He is hype man for sure. 100%.
I'm a little toned down right now, but it'll come out.
Yeah. All right.
It'll come out after a few more of this, like, amazing tequila that tastes like whiskey.
Yeah.
First of all.
We gotta put you on some tequila game though.
because I gotta be honest, this podcast is like I think over time I'll develop my voice and persona too. Like, I really want you guys to feel the raw me, but it is different when you have a mic in front of you.
100%. I mean,
so bear with me.
No, we're building here. You know, we're on building blocks. You know, and I will, like, on the topic of being an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. People who are watching, our purpose that we've collectively mentioned is that part of our identity is being an entrepreneur. And that's our kind of our vessel, our medium of helping people, right? Mm. But I believe my kind of philosophy, if you will, of entrepreneurship and whatnot is, part of it is, if you make yourself better, you become a better entrepreneur.
Sure.
Right? Because the crux of helping others is understanding how people feel and where they need help in.
Yeah.
If you can't master that yourself, for yourself, it's harder to help other people. Right. So that's how I see and feel things, right? So I will consider myself an empath, right? But on that note, like, where would you say your, like, years of experience in being a recruiter and helping people, like, your biggest lessons, like, if someone's watching this, right?
Yeah.
And saying, hey, like, I want to start a business, right?
Yeah.
In other words, what would you say to maybe your younger self that you've learned today?
Yeah.
Right? What is the biggest lesson to an entrepreneur?
Man. There's so many. But I'll start with this. It's okay. You know what? I just had the same conversation with my partners today.
No shit.
We're trying to transform our business.
What is your business? What's the
recruiting
name?
Recruiting. Pinpoint Talent.
Yeah. Okay.
Pinpointtalent.com.
I just wanted to have you say it out
loud. So we'll get into this in other episodes, but the way we do our business has to change. Because of AI and where we in a very digital, quick gratifying world, social media, quick hooks. It's about CTA and all that good stuff. Yep. It is what it is. It's the game. Now, it's not about fighting it, right? It's about learning it and learning what this new arena is and how to play in that arena now, right? And so we have to transform the way we do things. So because of that, we have to make decisions to transform and, you know, our business, which means there's a lot of unknowns. So then when unknowns happen, it's very natural for you to have self-doubt. Furthermore, when we have these ideas and we're talking amongst ourselves, we're excited. But then we start talking to friends and wives and family members. And I don't know if you've been down this road before where you had a great idea and you tell your spouse or you tell your friend or brother, sister, mom or dad, and they just go, are you sure? Are you sure that's going to work?
Yeah, I've definitely had that.
You know what I mean? And then it like deflates you. And so
I still have that after 10 years.
And right. And so initially I would say it would hurt you. You'll get emotional. But then I've learned that number one is you have to understand what their intention is, right? Their intention is they want to protect you, right? So they're like, dude, there's a lot of unknown here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you sure you want to pour so much money and time and investment into this idea that might not pan out? And when it doesn't pan out, is it going to break you? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. They're just trying to protect you. They're your friends. They're your family. And so I've learned not to get emotional about it. What I learned, though, is you have to believe in you. Mm-hmm. And you're the only one that's going to believe in you. And the only way you're going to believe in you and that idea is if you truly know why you're even doing that idea. Like, what is the purpose of that idea, right? And so I'm going to tell you guys this is, the purpose of me starting my business was not to make a lot of money. Some people start with that idea. I want to make quick money. I want to be a billionaire. That's fine. But I feel that why of money is not strong enough for you to continue to believe in you. Because when everyone else will not believe in you, you're going to be very lonely and you're going to be talking to yourself. Okay. Your voice, you know, that voice that's going to be like, gee, don't do that. Yeah. You're right. Like,
yeah.
You know what? Listen to your mom.
Your excuse voice.
Everyone has that excuse voice. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your excuse voice is actually your greatest enemy. Mm. It's not anyone else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if it's money, then I got to be honest with you. And now, if money is really, truly your deepest motivator, great. That's fine.
Yeah.
And if you feel that that will carry you through fighting that voice,
yeah,
then you hone in on that. For me, it was not enough.
But it's a factor.
It's a factor, of course.
Yeah.
But what I learned is, like, for me, it's like, I want to create something that really fits who I am. Of helping people in the most authentic and most Jonathan way.
That's beautiful.
I want to just be me and be able to help somebody and create this thing that is just authentic.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Oh, money comes.
Yeah.
Money actually comes.
Yeah.
When that happens.
It's amazing.
Wow. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. That point.
I know that feeling.
when you find that product or service where you could say, dude, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Like, and the best barometer for that is like when you're working at it and it doesn't even feel like work. Like, you're going to still stress. You're going to still feel anxiety.
Yes.
You're still going to feel those negative thoughts. I'm not saying like it's going to be like happy. Joy all the time.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you're like, you face it and you go, I got you, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Like, fuck this. Like,
I mean, let's be honest though. There will be some times where it's, yes, everything you said right now, just like, oh, we'll figure it out and everything. But to get to that point might take a while sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Okay. That internal voice. Yeah. Sometimes wins, right? It's we're not robots here, right? There will be that time where it'd be like, man, you'll question your thoughts. You'll did I do the right thing? Are my parents and friends right? Like, are there things that I could be doing for like a safety of having a 9-to-5 or
yeah,
you know, those thoughts will always creep in. And I don't know if that's for you, but it's been true for me, like. Does that mean I don't have faith in myself? No, absolutely not. Does that mean I'm not going to continue what I'm doing? No, absolutely not. You just have those moments.
Yeah,
right? You do. There are moments because we are human, right? But I think what you're talking about is don't let those that excuse voice win, because at the end of the day, you have to go back to your why, and your why is what you started off with, right? It's like, what is your why? You wanted to help people. You wanted to provide something different that was not in the industry of recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I wanted to clarify that, like, it's these thoughts that occur naturally. It's natural, right? You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, at some point, you have to be like, what's my why? What was my intention of starting this, right?
You got to know it.
Yeah.
And the deeper you know it, the better. The less surface it is, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. more deeper it is. It means it's more ingrained in you.
Yeah.
And so then the next step is, once you understand your motivation and your why, you got to hit when the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Then you got to take that fire, that belief, mm-hmm. and then you got to start working. And that's when the discipline comes in. When they all talk about discipline, discipline number one, you got to be disciplined, disciplined, disciplined. I do agree,
yeah.
But I don't think, but here, so this might be controversial, but everybody doesn't do discipline without knowing what their motivation is and who they are.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
100%. I mean, Kobe, MJ, Steph, you're telling me they're who are they are because they're disciplined? No. They're disciplined because they were able to take all that flame, that belief in them, and put in a framework of work.
Mm.
And then be accountable to that framework. So to me, discipline is simply, what is your framework?
Your execution.
How are you going to execute your motivation?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the sooner you could do that, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, that would be my first advice, is if you have a good idea and you have a flame and you have a why and you have a, like, oh, I want to start a podcast or this, my best advice is don't sit on it. Do it that second.
Yeah.
And it could be something small as create a Notion for yourself and just jot down your ideas on paper. It could be that small of an act.
Yeah.
But that small act, you're an inch further than where you were.
And that your competition.
And your competition. Who most of your competition, G, will say, I'll start Monday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Ooh, I'm so excited.
Tomorrow. Like,
I'll just
next
start.
Week.
I'll start after next the week. Weekend. Like, I promise you, I will start next week. So two things are going to happen. When that next week comes, your motivation has died already.
Yeah.
So another thing you have to realize is motivation is like a candle. It will die.
Mm-hmm.
That flame will die. So when it's burning the hottest,
you got to strike.
You got to strike.
Yeah.
And then, so that's one. Yeah. And then when you strike, you got to be disciplined in creating a, what is my game plan? So let me bring it back to what you just said, is part of your game plan could be like, maybe I do have to drive Uber or take a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
But take a 9-to-5, and this is the recruiting talking, take a 9-to-5 where the purpose of the 9-to-5 is simply to make money.
Yeah.
So that you could have time to do your this.
Yes.
Okay. Which means the 9-to-5 you take a remote one. Take a hybrid one. I get it. Okay. And take one where you walk into the interview and say, hey, when you hire me, I'm going to master this role, but you have to give me like when I come in 9-to-5, I'm gone. Is that okay? It's okay to be judicial like that and say, but 9-to-5, I promise you, I'm going to kick ass for you. Right?
Tell them. Yeah.
Because you know your purpose. You know your purpose of that 9-to-5 simply so I can make a paycheck so I have time to do what I love. That's called discipline. That's called a game plan, right?
Yeah.
I talk to my candidates all the time. It's like, what is the purpose of you looking for that job?
Mm-hmm.
If the purpose is simply a paycheck, then the strategy of you finding that job is different. Mm-hmm. Than if you're applying for a job that you fucking love.
Right, absolutely.
I would put a lot more care into that job.
100%.
I would not take a shotgun approach. Like, let me just send my resume. No, you do that for the 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
So, damn, okay. I have so much to talk about job finding, but
I'm feeling it.
I appreciate that. That was a great question. But that's what I would do.
Okay.
What would you do? You're in a different like industry, bro. Like you're in cinematography and I would love to be a fly on your wall to see what you do every day. Like so,
I've had a, you know, I'm in several like networking groups and teams, and there's always like a new question as your like icebreaker, right?
Okay.
And one of them was like, who on this group and team would you like to be an intern for? 90% for G and B Cuff.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I can see that. It's cool.
It's like it's considered a cool thing, right? Being making a cinematographer. Movie, I'll tell you, it feels cool when you see the final product, but filmmaking is really dry. You know, content making is really dry. Stuff.
Interesting.
That doesn't mean I love it any less.
Why do you say it's dry? Just what does that mean?
Dry as in there's a lot of start stop.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of
right
pre-production.
Right.
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 Creating a script.
Yeah.
It's not everything's like, oh, we're on a movie set. We got lights, camera, action. Yeah, right. It's not romanticized as, you know, most people think it is.
Yeah.
What's the crazy part? Why I love filmmaking is because of that end product. That end product, what is that end product? The end product for me and my clients are, you know, highlighting their service or product on their website, on their social media, wherever it may be. But just seeing my product out there, that is so fulfilling to me because someone hired me, someone paid me money, right? To trust me enough to say, hey, can you make a visual representation or a curate a message visually that will help me feed my company and the people in my company and my family because I trust that you can deliver. Does that make sense?
By the way, G did our, so in 2022, we were voted best place to work and we won an award. And part of the award was we had to share a 90-second, like just video of our company. And so who did I call? And let me, if you guys watch it, I know what he did is only a tenth of what he can do. But even in that video, it was amazing because that was the first time I learned like not everything has to be glitz, glamour, glamorized. Like it was simple production, but the way you produced it was very authentic to who we were.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to that award show. We showed it. Like everyone who picked up their award, they have to show the video or whatever as an intro. And I would get so many comments from other business owners like, dude, cool video. Like, who did it for you? You know what I mean? So that's the greatest, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate
reward, you saying probably, that. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, validation. Absolutely. But it was cool to see you kind of work. And
appreciate that. Yeah.
So he came in. We had a WeWork. He did every. He was a one man show actually.
Yeah.
You set up sometimes the cameras, the lighting. You directed us, and you filmed, and you edited.
I mean, I got to shout out my director when it comes to bigger shoots, and you know, someone I sound off on when it comes to filmmaking and everything I've learned from is this guy, Chris.
Shout out, Chris. Chris is a cool guy, by the way.
If you ever seen him. Yeah. When I say out loud, my director is coming, you'll see him when you see him. You know, he totally has that filmmaker, you know, I'm a director look to him. So he's that guy. But yeah, shout out to Chris for sure. But I didn't meet Chris off the bat. I think I don't want to go back into like the backstory of like how we started Biko or anything like that. But my why is very similar to yours, which is helping people. My mission is that I can produce a video that will invoke some sort of motion to make your audience move and take action. That is our mission.
Whew.
Well, what does that mean? That means that if we make a visual, then if you have a product or service, right, they will take action, meaning they'll buy something or share it with somebody, right? That is our goal. That is our mission at Beko. And how I do that is by understanding, you know, what a company's, you know, what their goals are and from a marketing standpoint. But essentially, it's who are they helping? So my, like, who are they helping part of it is the people at the company and the people viewing it. So I kind of essentially have two clients in one, right? So my why is to help people, but to help people tell their story. That's my why. And I think I could do it better because I have the technical experience, but also who I am personally as someone who I would identify as being an empathetic person. So I could feel like how people are, like an empath, right? So that level of understanding kind of, I would like to say, kind of gives me an edge, you know, on just simply just being a technical, you know, person who pressed record, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, that's all I wanted to say. My wife,
like, you feel it. Yeah. You put a lot of care into your customers, like our clients, knowing their story, knowing who they are, and then figuring out how you could put that visually.
100%
To that represents who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's one of your greatest gifts. I actually tell this to my candidates all the time. There's three skills you got to learn in life. It doesn't matter what you do. The number one is how to sell yourself. You got to have an elevator pitch of who you are.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to do that is if you know who you are.
Yes.
And practice it.
Yes.
Like, when I ask, oh, what do you do or who you are? You got to be ready. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The second thing is what you just said, is how do you tell a good story? I think the art of storytelling is really important.
Yes.
No matter what you do, right? Everyone wants to hear a story. They don't want to hear facts or data.
Yeah.
They want to hear emotional things that make them feel a certain way. And by the way, recruiting, you know, and interviewing, when you interview, you got to learn how to tell your career story in an interview. The third is how to network, because you do not become successful alone. Eagles fly with eagles. You're going to have to do it with a pack. And so be selective with your pack, but recognize when that pack's around you and embrace them. And just know that I think in a digital world we live in, we have to go back to the human experience, that what you're going to leave on this earth is really the conversations and the feelings and the relationships you have.
Yeah.
And you build relationships.
I believe that. Yeah.
Through creating cool ass visuals.
Well, I mean, I 100% agree, but I personally like to build relationships as well. I think that's
the
business aspect of it, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So I agree with 100% you're saying. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Of course. In our profession and medium, that is how we build our relationships.
Yes.
But outside of work, we're just cool ass guys. Like, yeah. He's the same. Like, this is why I get along with, like.
Well, you're telling me we don't just think here, be like, okay, I got to build a relationship.
Yeah.
I got to network.
We're planning.
You know?
No, it's like, we just like, I'm very open to meeting new people, and yeah. I'm very curious. I love everybody's, I just love everybody's individuality. That's the best way. I just love people, dude.
Yeah.
I learned something from you. I learned something from Dan. My wife.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love being curious. I love learning, you know, new things and new perspectives. I think that's, again, going back to why we started this podcast, is like, we don't really know everything about each other, but we're sitting here talking about entrepreneurship and like why we click, you know, as entrepreneurs. I mean, that's something new that I learned from you today. I didn't know like a little bit of those things, you know? So, I learned something new. Yeah. That's really cool. Do you want to go on our next section, which, I believe is a random topic from Skin Deep.
Ooh.
Is it called Skin Deep? Is
Let's go,
so
Anchor.
I actually don't know.
Let's go, Anchor. Yeah. So Skin Deep made a bunch of card games.
What is Skin Deep? I actually don't
Skin
know.
Skin Deep is actually a channel on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a show now. Sorry, Skin Deep. They have millions of followers. I don't know where they... I think they're produced in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Do I'm they have sure. that accent?
But they have a bunch of like production... Like one of the things is they'll have, you know, two people sit together, whether they're maybe ex-husband, ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
father, daughter, friends, and they will just talk random conversation starters and ask them some deep, intimate questions.
Let's do it.
You know what I'm saying? And so out of that, they came up with these cards, which is what I could do.
Card you're going to pull right now. Here
so,
we go.
Skin Deep card, and this one, and every one of these are designed for a purpose. So there's ones for couples, there's ones for friends, which is what I have.
Okay, I was like, we're not about to go to the couples one.
Yeah, yeah. So what? How do you like me? No,
we're both married.
When you're in bed, no. they have one for coworkers now.
Okay,
they have ones for like family members or something.
Nice,
like, but you know, so this one's for friends. So
okay, here we go.
Here we go.
I'm glad.
We're just trying to change it up. Let's see if you guys. Hey, comment below if you guys like this segment. I don't know, dude. I think it's fun. Whatever. Here.
That was a nice shuffle there.
Yeah, here we go. we're going to pick this one. We're going to pick this one. Ready? What's something you should have done but didn't? And why?
Ooh.
We're talking about regret now.
Uh-oh.
It's really asking, like, what is something you regret you didn't do? Mm. And regret is tough.
All right, so for me, I wish I had stuck with a sport since I was a kid.
Which sport?
Baseball.
Not basketball?
I have such a love for basketball, but when I was in high school, I got put on game.
Baseball, okay.
I made the A team in junior high, both... what is it?
Okay.
7th and 8th grade.
Okay. Okay.
And then I also made junior varsity.
All right.
9th and 10th. But I was really humbled. I got to tell you. I was really humbled when the gym had an open gym.
Okay.
And one of the guys who was on varsity was just shooting around. Mm-hmm. And it was just me just shooting around like everyone else has left.
Oh, we're talking about basketball now.
We're talking about basketball.
Not baseball.
Okay. Not baseball. Yeah. Okay. And he was like, "Hey, you wanna play a 1-on-1?" And I was like, "Sure, let's see what's good. Let's see how we measure up from junior varsity to varsity, okay. right?" Man, oh man, was I
he cooked you.
He cooked
you. He's just working you, dude.
Yeah,
and, da, 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 da.
I mean, he was significantly taller. So what's that song? I wish I was a ball. I wish. You know, it was kind of like that moment for me realizing, like,
he did the da da on you. Da-da.
He was like, in my mind, I was like, geez, nah, you're not gonna be a baller today, dude.
You're
not gonna be a baller ever. Like, I felt like I tried every
move,
every
he had a counter knew, move,
everything, every stone I unturned. I even shit talked, you know, like,
yeah, I've been there,
and it was like. No, this is not happening. And all my hoop dreams got shot right then and there. But why do I say baseball? I think baseball was actually my first love that I never really pursued.
Yeah, me too.
And it was hard for me to pursue because,
yeah,
I mean, I obviously love basketball and football today, till today.
Yeah.
But baseball is something that is hard to practice by yourself unless you really focus on a position, right?
Sure.
You can practice by yourself on being a pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can throw the ball millions of times. You practice on being a batter where you go to the batting cages, right? But I was neither a pitcher or like, I mean, I was a decent batter, but mm-hmm. I wish I had, done more of that. That's the one thing I regret because of the camaraderie of just being out on the field, that smell of grass, that, you know, celebrating as a team, throwing a ball around. I mean, just so, it's so basic. I feel like such a primal thing for maybe a guy or maybe just human just playing catch, you know, hitting a ball. Like there's something really cool about that and doing it as a team and then competing as a team. I wish I had done more of that. Baseball is the one sport I played the most out of any other sport. I played basketball for about, I'll say 4 years. I played 1 year flag football, which also I realized like football is actually my favorite sport, but I realized I was like, that shit ain't it either for me. But baseball was something I felt like I could have improved on, and I regret not spending more time in baseball. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think, but you could do that now. You're still young.
Yeah, let's do it. You said you love baseball too, right? Let's go.
I do, dude. I love.
Let's go to the batting cages. Like,
I love baseball.
I love baseball.
I do. So baseball is my first love.
All right. If you can't hear, we're in the studio and Jonathan is picking up a hat. Here we go. The A's.
So
hat.
I know it's. I know.
This is an Oakland A's hat.
I'm sad, dude. They're leaving.
Yeah.
So I'm not a hardcore fan, right? So I haven't followed them for years, but they were my first love. And then I went into basketball. So I'm a diehard Warriors fan. But my first remember of a sporting event I went to was with my father, my dad, and my brother.
Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it was 89. During their World Series, but Battle of the Bay.
You remember 89?
Yes. We got tickets. Crazy. Shout out to my Aunt Rosa. I believe my Auntie Rosa bought us tickets and said, hey,
nice.
Take your sons to this game.
That's really cool.
We went to the game and we sat in the third deck. That was when baseball was huge and the Oakland Coliseum was selling out to the third deck.
It was that packed.
Third deck. Wow. Okay. Because, you know, we can afford, you know, whatever. Like, so we're in the third deck. I do remember we had hats, like brand new hats on. And I don't know why I remember this, but I remember my dad taking us to the urinal and my brother's hat fell in the urinal and he cried and he was so pissed off because pee got on his hat. Sorry, Jeffrey. I don't know if I told this story. Dude, so I was like 8 and my brother was like 5 or something.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. My dad was carrying him, trying to pee, and then, you know, and then it just fell. So, I remember, like, you know, I was a big Jose Canseco fan. Hey. I was Bash Brothers, Mark McGwire, like that whole lineup I could name, right?
Uh-huh.
First base, Mark McGwire. They had shortstop was Mike Gallego. Third base was Carney Lansford. You remember these guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Shortstop, a catcher was Terry Steinbach. And then in the field, we had Canseco, we had the Hendersons, we had Ricky, and we had Dave.
That's crazy.
Ricky was.
That's a crazy lineup.
Ricky's probably the greatest leadoff. But, anyways. Long story short is like people ask me, like, what do I regret? I just regret not. The funny thing is playing baseball more often because not that I felt like I could make the major leagues or anything.
Same.
But it's like I wish I felt the camaraderie, like you said, and honored the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
The whole, like, my dad would take me to, like, practice and, like,
yes,
go to the fields and, like, play catch and stuff. Like, I was like,
yep,
maybe I should honor that by, you know, pursuing it and giving it more, like, chance or whatever. Like,
I mean, I think there's a, if I may, like, there's a chance for you to pass it on, right?
Well, I have, so, yeah, that's true. Okay. Who knows if my daughter would love to pick that up. Yeah. We're in an exploratory phase right now. Okay. She's six, so.
Okay.
Listen, one week could be I want to learn golf with dad, which would freaking almost made me cry.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, she's getting pretty good.
Hey.
But then probably the next already day,
better than me because I suck at golf.
Nah, you're not that bad. Next day is something else. They're just an exploratory phase.
Yeah.
But no, I want to honor it. But people do ask me like if they move to Vegas, which might not. That's a whole shit show, by the way. They might be the Sacramento A's. I'm gonna be honest with you.
They are. I think they're gonna be in Sacramento first. I think they've already
for 3 years.
Right, 3 years. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's freaking. Okay, I'm not gonna start.
Would you convert? Is my question.
No.
Okay.
But I'll still wear the A's because it reminds me of my childhood.
I asked.
You know what I mean? That's what
100%,
it means.
100%.
So yeah.
I asked one of my close friends. He's a Raiders fan.
Okay. Yeah. Same.
And he recently same had issue. A kid as well.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, you're a Raiders fan too?
No, no, no. The Raiders have the somewhat of the same issue.
Oh, okay.
Issue.
I was like
moving to Vegas.
I was like, you know, being like, a Raider fan should I, is you know, an issue.
No. I'm a Niner fan. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I follow whatever too. My dad loved the Warriors, Niners, and A's. Yeah. So that's what I love. So gotcha. It is what it is.
Built in.
Okay.
He recently had a kid. He grew up a Raiders fan, obviously Oakland Raiders. I teasingly said to him while, you know, he was holding his kid, I was like, oh, so he's going to be still be a Raiders fan when he grows up. And, he's like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't mind him being a Niners fan because I could take him to games.
Ooh, what? Okay.
And
so it's more important to experience the games with him than
yeah. I think yes.
Okay.
But also having fandom towards a team.
That's here.
Yeah.
And
then
I
also
you.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Experiencing something with
your son or your
dad, right?
Yeah.
You know, or your brothers.
Yep.
Right. And I think there's something really cool. We talk a lot about when we started off, like being entrepreneurs, right? I think you pointed out Kobe, you pointed out MJ, you pointed out Steph Curry. There's a lot of parallels when it comes to entrepreneurship and sports. And I think that's kind of also why I love sports, right? Because most people nowadays, I feel, are on fantasy and, teams are... see players as a commodity, right? A depreciating the commodity, right? Instead of the people, right? Because we as entrepreneurs value people, right? We value the relationships. And I think a winning team has to value those things, right? So I think there's something lost in sports in a general sense, right? Especially in the world of betting and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know what I predict is in the future, we're going to value sports more and more.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing that's going to be hard for robots to replace.
Right.
So we're going to yearn. When everything's going to the digital world, it's going to swing back.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, wait, hold on. Forget Ready Player One. Like when everyone's in, you know, whatever, the digital world.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm yearning for the human experience.
Yes.
Like people throwing a ball at each other and hitting a ball. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the most purest form of human experience you can have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, which is why sporting events are like, their tickets are going sky high.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people are yearning for that so that they could feel more human. Like, you know what I mean? Like the, there's something to be said when you're going out there with your friends, watching a ball game. It feels so, it's like a core of the human experience. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. It's an experience, you know what I mean? In general. Yeah.
Now, one day robots might replace that. Maybe. But I think we're far from that.
I have no idea.
So,
you know.
Yeah. But for me, like it's nostalgia. It's childhood. It's like remembering like my dad taking me to Walgreens and buying the 89 Donruss pack and hoping we would get the Jose Canseco MVP card.
That's so crazy.
And so we were run in there.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't have a lot of money, but like, he's like, okay, I'll spend $1.50 on this pack.
Yeah.
We'll run in there. We'll run out to his car. He'll turn on the car lights and we'll open it up.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, shit, I didn't get it. He's like, let's go one more time. So this one night, that's we went cool. four times.
No, shit.
I finally got it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to end with this story.
Yeah.
And shout out to my brother, Jeff. I love you, but I have to tell this story.
Uh-oh.
He was still young.
Okay, I'm going to take one of these real quick.
Yeah. So then I have this prized MVP Jose Canseco card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my brother was a toddler at that time. And so sometimes I would take my cards out and, you know, out of the binders, out of the plastic binder or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would play with it. Like I would put them, I would organize them in teams.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so my cards would be on in a pile.
Uh-huh.
Here comes my brother crawling over to my pile. Okay. There must be 100 cards.
Uh-huh.
He picked my Jose card.
Oh.
Out of the whole thing.
Oh my God. Oh no. No. No, he
didn't.
And then
he took a big bite. And I was so mad.
What'd you do?
I didn't hit him. Okay, I'm not like that. I'm not that brother. I was pissed off. I forgot. Maybe I blocked it out of my mind. But I just remember seeing that card with his bite mark.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I definitely cried. And but you know, those things are good, bad, it doesn't matter. They're such memories that I treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, the older I get, the more I realize, like, it's those memories that I need to remember. Like, that's my treasure. That's my gold. Because on my deathbed, on all our deathbeds, those are the things that I'm going to probably recollect like a reel.
Yeah.
In my head.
Yeah.
Before I die. And go, you know what? I had a good life.
Those are the important things.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are the more memories and relationships that I want to do. So anyways.
So I think that's something that you can pass on again with your daughter, you know?
So I'm trying to.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Hey.
That was cheers. Good.
First episode one.
Hey, we hit record.
I kept looking back.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's all I kept seeing watching.
Make sure we recorded. But hey, shout out. Hey, thank you so much for a great conversation. Listen, I hope you guys learned something new. Who knows? But 1% podcast, let's go. For you guys, for us, we're going to keep going, man. We're going to keep going. Every month is going to be a week, month, probably month for now.
Yeah, we'll start with the 1 month.
Maybe if this takes off, you might hear us once a week.
Yeah.
But we're just hoping you're going to learn something new every day.
And if you liked something that you heard, share it with a friend, share it with your family,
spread the word, baby.
Spread the word, yeah. And
let us know if this motivate you guys to start your own.
Yeah, I'll be curious,
dude.
We'll be your biggest supporters, because you know what,
dud.
The last subscribe. thing I don't care. Say is like we're not starting this podcast because we're millionaires. You know,
far
we started this because we are you guys.
Yeah,
and that's why we wanted to express and share our voice. So that's the last thing I'll say. My name is G Baines. You'll see me on episode 2, and this is
Jonathan Jair. Follow me at JJ_FitRecruiter.
There we go, we got it this time. All right guys, that's a wrap.
All right, man,
to the next episode, take care.